Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Keynote by CNBC Events. I'm Tyler Matheson. On this podcast, we bring you in-depth, candid conversations with executives, experts, and thought leaders. On this episode, you'll hear from Alex Paul and Drew Taggart, more commonly known as the DJ duo The Chainsmokers. On top of dropping beats at EDM festivals, they are also dropping money into startups as venture capitalists. They spoke with my colleague Julia Boorstin at CNBC's Work Summit on December 6, 2023, about their investment strategy and how AI will impact the creator economy. Here's their conversation.
I'm so excited to be here with the Chainsmokers, Alex Paul and Drew Taggart, who are not only amazing musical artists, but have also built this really massive VC investing business with quite a diversified portfolio. Alex and Drew, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, massive is a little generous, by the way.
Yeah.
You tour the world as DJs. You've collaborated with so many different types of musical artists. I'm so curious why, when you were having so much success in that field, you decided to get into the VC investing space.
We were having too much fun and we needed to switch it up. No, I think for us, it was like a really natural progression. Maybe it actually even starts with like a lunch we had with Jimmy Buffett many years ago. You know, when we were grilling him about his margarita empire and all the businesses he's created kind of adjacent to his core business, you know, he told us like, think about things like, what does your platform stand for? What are the things that make you special and really interest you? And then kind of when you identify those things, go out and create, you know, other opportunities in adjacent spaces that feel like, you know, they're already a natural extension to the things you're already doing. And we have been leveraging technology in our music career in many ways. And we started investing, you know, shortly, probably like 5 or 6 years into our career, and really took a liking to kind of working with entrepreneurs and stuff. And the more we got into it and the more conversations we had, we kind of realized that a lot of the things that make people great investors and helpful investors are things that, you know, come rather naturally to us. And it was exciting to get involved for that, you know, for that reason.
So I guess the question is, what is that? What are those traits that make you a great investor that maybe also helped you as entrepreneurs yourself? I mean, I think to have a duo as successful as Chainsmokers, you have to be very entrepreneurial.
Yeah, I think showing up is the most important one. You know, you have to like really care and show up and, you know, do the work and be prepared for the hand-to-hand combat that venture is every single day. But beyond that, I think it's like, you know, it's a lot about connectivity and putting people together in the right situations and being resourceful. And, you know, we've been lucky enough to, you know, go around the world many, many times and meet so many amazing people. And we're very fortunate to, you know, have this network that we can call on to hopefully bring value and experience and advice, you know, to our founders and the companies we invest in. So, you know, we try to bring a differentiated type of value to the ecosystem, but hopefully, you know, that's what sets us apart and makes us unique.
But to go back to Jimmy Buffett, I mean, he built Margaritaville, and I feel like there are many natural extensions of your business. I mean, you have a tequila brand, which has been very successful, but you could have done things that were outside of the tech space. The tech space, obviously, complicated and crowded for many different ways. Why tech, Drew, and what is your specific thesis for your funds?
I mean, as Alex was saying before, we had integrated technology into, you know, the way that we built our career with Chainsmokers. And then a lot of people that we were hanging around, whether we were doing like a private event for a tech company or I think just coincidentally somehow, a bunch of like iconic tech entrepreneurs at this point kind of entered our life at the same time. And we realized that we had more in common with them than we did with most musicians. And we found ourselves spending a lot of time with them. And we identified with the way that they built their companies was similar how we, you know, we're you know, pure artists, but, you know, I think we've done a really good job at building a business around what we do as artists. And I think we had more in common with the mindset that a lot of these people were in that were building tech companies than we had with like most of the artists. So I think us, like, that kind of like fueled the desire to get more involved in that space. And we got a lot of insight and access and just opportunities to be involved in that space. And I think that's where the idea spawned. But
And so what is the thesis of the fund? I know it's early stage. You launched in 2019. You've done three different raises, and you've invested in an incredibly diverse assortment of companies, from fintech to consumer-facing brands to companies in the Web3 and AI space. What is the purpose of the fund?
I think it's funny because everything you imagine that Chainsmokers would invest in, it's the opposite of that. You know, we wanted to challenge ourselves and see if we could bring value to areas and verticals that are kind of outside the purview of what you might expect us to invest into. And, you know, we come into these different verticals, obviously, with a ton of humility. And a lot of our success is about the relationships we're able to forge and the advice we're able to ask for and lean on. And hopefully, like, we crafted a strategy, basically, where, you know, I'm a metaphor guy, so forgive me here. But the idea is to be, you know, the all-star sixth man on every championship team. And to us, it's about being like a collaborator and a preferred partner than a competitor people. And I think for us, you know, we want to be a part of the best business and with the best investors and learn from them and how they operate and bring value and also do it in our unique way. So, you know, for lack of a better example, we think of ourselves as like the Robin to the Batman. And, you know, and our job is just to bring hopefully some unique value and give our founders the most holistic level of support in, you know, in partnership with a great fund like a Sequoia or Amplify or a Pair VC. And in the process, you know, we have the opportunity to learn by being a part, hopefully, of one of the leading companies in a space, but also from these other investors. And, you know, it's a long process. The feedback loops when you're investing in this seed stage take a long time. So when people are like, congratulations, I'm like, relax, you know, like we're not quite there yet, but we're, you know, we're having a great time. And I think, you know, we enjoy the hard work and are super curious guys. So really satiates a lot of our personality traits.
And it seems like, you know, investing the seed stage, you've gotten into a number of AI companies. And obviously, AI is such a powerful force across the tech ecosystem right now. But it's also a really interesting topic from the perspective of you as content creators and you as musicians and artists. AI was at the center of the Writers and the Actors Guild strikes in this debate about who owns what IP and how different original content can be used and people's identities and voices and images can be used. So I'm curious how you're approaching AI investing, and then I'm going to get into sort of what you think about it more as musical artists.
Do you want to start?
Which one you want to do?
Yeah, I'll start. I mean, for us, you know, it's obviously this is one of like the biggest technological shifts, you know, certainly in probably in my lifetime. You think back to like the microprocessor, the internet, the mobile phone. And I think AI is going to, you know, revolutionize every industry and potentially every company. But at the same time, these things happen in phases, you know. And so for us, we're being very practical and patient about, you know, where we believe the value is going to be captured right now. Obviously, you know, we're super involved, want to speak to everybody, want to learn everything there is to learn. But, you know, we've seen obviously like OpenAI's Dev Week, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, you know, the pace of innovation is happening so fast that you're seeing companies get wiped out, you know, by the handful because, you know, an incumbent's coming in and building a model. And so you're trying to really understand where do you have these advantages? Is it the application layer? Is it the infrastructure layer? And for us, you know, I think right now the service layer is probably the most interesting, things like Harvey AI, additive AI, tax, legal work. But then, you know, the application layer and the creator economy obviously is really exciting because, you know, this is going to basically, you know, democratize access down to, you know, $0 where everyone can kind of create whatever they want, which is pretty exciting. But you have to think about things like defensibility. And as we saw in like the, you know, dot-com era, the internet obviously went on to create a ton of value for, you know, many, many people and kind of revolutionized the way that we, you know, live our daily lives. But, you know, pets.com didn't make it. There were a lot of companies, you know, early on that, you know, had the right idea, but the wrong timing maybe. And so you have to be, you know, careful about those things.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. Like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.
You're certainly early stages here. I feel like if you look at the potential for AI to really disrupt, when I look at the list of AI companies you're in the creator space, you have Tavis, deepfake personalized videos, Dooli, Stability AI, which is visual art, Infinity AI, synthetic data. Drew, how do you think about investing in companies that could help or impact artists?
That's an interesting question. I think we invest in great teams and people that have ideas that, you know, hold validity to the points that Alex was just saying. As a creator, I can't say that I fully made up my mind about how I feel about this. I know as an artist, I want every possible tool to make my art better. And, you know, we sing, we produce, we write, we kind of do all of the things where technology is extremely integral to, versus just being like a singer-songwriter. I think we're also not like savant musicians. I think we're always trying to use every tool to express ourselves and make our art better. But that's kind of how I see AI. Like right now, I want to be able to sing with somebody else's voice. I want to be able to write a song and make it sound and be able to design my own voice. It's not even mine. I want to have five voices that are actually all mine that is generated off of mine in a track. To do that, you have to train a model off of tons of copywritten songs. So that's kind of where the holdup is. It's the same. I mean, the music industry always seems to be the last mover in entertainment to like adapt to technology. And it always comes down to rights, who owns what. And inevitably it gets there. So we're going that way. So I think the only answer is to embrace it and figure out a way to harness it. And I'm personally excited. I know there's a lot of artists that don't feel that way, but I see it as a huge tool that's going to be enabling Chainsmokers music to reach a level that it hadn't before. I might regret saying all this, you know what I mean? But
I think it's so interesting because you want to embrace these tools of AI.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you might wonder whether EDM, electronic dance music, is the type of music that could be most easily disrupted or replaced by AI. Are you worried someone's going to say, hey, make me sound like the Chainsmokers?
Yeah, I mean, I think especially when, I mean, I think, well, fans generally, I'm excited. Oh, God. This is like, I have so many thoughts when you say things like this. I mean, like when we start thinking about EDM, especially because it's about a beat. It's about something that is less connected to a human being. I guess like that's one way to think about it. And so that seems like something easier to replicate. And maybe you're right. I think fans will always react to an authentic story. And I think we're seeing that more and more so. All the time. I think what people are favoring right now are, you know, feeling that they have a connection to somebody over something that sounds like it should be a hit. And that's awesome to see. I think we're in the era of niche superstars and not global superstars. And I think that people's take, I mean, the internet is allergic to inauthenticity. And so I think that, you know, as AI comes in, people will be able to sniff out what's real and what's not. And people will still want to be fans of true artists that are telling their story. They want something to believe in. Maybe AI will find a way to replicate that too. And if so, so be it. I think it's just fun for us to be a participant in this time.
But when you think about the sort of the business of sampling and this idea of sampling music, and to me, what I'm seeing in the AI space is a push towards attribution. And one thing that I think is really going to impact AI and content is the idea that there's going to be this greater push to give attribution to, like, what did you train your AI on? What is the source of that creativity? Right. And I'm curious, as creators yourself, as you think about training an AI to give you four versions of your voice or whatever that is, if you think that there is a real danger to the creativity of the industry, are we going to see things all start to sound more the same because people are going to be trying to sound like like the hit success.
I don't think
musicians.
So. I mean, I think you're definitely going to see, you know, huge influx of content, you know, almost the same thing like what how Spotify.
You already are. I mean, there's 100,000 songs uploaded to Spotify a day.
Yeah. And that might increase, you know, exponentially now with the democratization of the internet. But I do think like the cream always rises to the top. And like what Drew said about authenticity and brand and connection, I think you saw, you know, it kind of happened on TikTok on some levels. I think we've seen TikTok break some amazing artists, and they certainly do a terrific job, you know, kind of leveling the playing field where anyone can kind of have a moment, which is really exciting. But at the same time, you know, these songs, these sound bites that have gone viral, you know, you don't actually feel a connection to the artist. And I think, you know, labels went crazy during the pandemic, signing all these different artists, you know, that had these, you know, moments in time. And then there was no real substance behind it after that. And I think for that reason, you know, you will always kind of crave this content. We're just going to have, it's going to be much harder to sift through. And I'm a big believer in terms of attribution, like, you know, someone's going to need to build some sort of like Reddit forum or Discord types leader, you know, scoreboard or, you know, where you can, you know, source these things. So like, it would be cool if someone could make Chainsmoker music. You couldn't upload it without the permission of us, but we can go into a forum and say, wow, this song has 50,000 likes, you know, and this next one has 10,000. Obviously, this person has created something special. Maybe now we have the option to reach out to that person, you know, collaborate with them on this idea, or say, you know what, this is fine. Go ahead and release it. But, you know, there's a framework set up so that we're all doing this, you know, fairly and legally, because at the end of the day, and I know Sony, had a conversation about this recently. They've taken down like some 10,000 songs recently. And they're right. You know, you have to protect the artists and our voice. And this is how we make our living. So in many ways, you know, it's important that you can't just freely make millions of Drew's voice singing. But at the same time, I don't know if you can stop that. So you're just going to have to figure out, you know, what are the rules and the process to get this, you know, to a place where everyone can enjoy this technology safely and reap the benefits also.
So speaking of getting to that place safely, I'm curious for both of you, both as artists and also as investors in these AI tools, what kind of regulation do you think there needs to be around the AI space?
It's tough because I think, you know, you could look at it from two lenses. You know, you obviously have these, you know, maximalists and minimalists, the people that are like super excited about the potential of AI. And then you kind of have the doomers that are a little bit scared about the potential of it. I think, you know, that you should listen to both sides and obviously form your own opinion. You know, what's tough about American capitalism, and I think we've seen this, is that, you know, you have certain bigger companies lobbying in, you know, the government for certain protections that I think afford them a leg up or, you know, to stand on relative to the smaller companies that, you know, are trying to forge a path. I do think the future is definitely open source at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, there are inherent risks with that on some level. And I think, you know, there needs to be a framework for, you know, us to understand if someone, you know, if you're seeing spikes in GPU usage in places, like, it's going to be a very powerful tool, but, you know, this isn't AGI yet in many ways. And, you know, I think we have a ways to go before humanity's in, you know, being threatened.
In peril.
Yeah, exactly. But right now, you know, restricting this technology, I think, would be a huge mistake because, you know, this is what America has always stood for.
Yeah.
And, you know, over all the different revolutions we've gone through, it's, you know, always been about progress.
And innovation.
Exactly.
Yeah. And just a quick final question. We are out of time, but Drew, I want to ask you and give you the last word since Alex started it off. Where is your fund going next? What types of investments are you looking for next?
I mean, we have a few verticals we're focused on: SaaS, cybersecurity, AI, obviously, a little bit of fintech. You know, these are like special interest areas for us, but you know, we're trying to find, as we always have been, for instance, our first fund is we try to find the best founders, the best teams, the best companies in the most interesting spaces and find place where we can make actual, find space where we can like make actual change for them, and make a difference.
That was the Chainsmokers, the DJ duo of Alex Paul and Drew Taggart. They joined us at CNBC's Work Summit on December 6th, 2023. The Keynote is produced by the CNBC Events team, and if you enjoyed this conversation, please share with your friends. You can visit cnbcevents.com to learn about upcoming events and how you can join us. We'd love to have you there. I'm Tyler Matheson. Thanks for listening.
From their innovative practice facility
to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.